choose good, the substantial, the unchanging. Choose good, the spiritual and pure. Choose good, the immortal and undying. Choose good, for God's goodness is wholeness so sure.
I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. We'll continue in song with hymn number 93.
Happy the man whose heart can rest, assured God's goodness ne'er will cease. Each day complete with joy is blessed. God keepeth him in perfect peace.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Acknowledging Man's Goodness. And I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Genesis. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Psalm. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Isaiah. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy wall salvation, and thy gates praise. 2 Samuel. The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. Thou savest me from violence. 1 Samuel. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doing. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house. And peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away, every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers, and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again, and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And then she said unto her servants, Go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. Luke, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Psalms, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Trust in the Lord and do good. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And now from Science and Health. Everything good or worthy God made. Whatever is valueless or baneful, he did not make, hence its unreality. In the Science of Genesis, we read that he saw everything which he had made, and behold, it was very good. Carnal beliefs defraud us. They make man an involuntary hypocrite, producing evil when he would create good, forming deformity when he would outline grace and beauty, injuring those whom he would bless. He becomes a general miscreator who believes he is a semi-god. His touch turns hope to dust, the dust we all have trod. He might say in Bible language, The good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. There can be one creator who has created all. The foundation of mortal discord is a false sense of man's origin. The great mistake of mortals is to suppose that man, God's image and likeness, is both matter and spirit, both good and evil. If God made man both good and evil, man must remain thus. What can improve God's work? Again, an error in the premise must appear in the conclusion. To have one God and avail yourself of the power of spirit, you must love God supremely. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. The flesh and spirit can no more unite in action than good can coincide with evil. Mortals suppose that they can live without goodness when God is good and the only real life. Fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, said Jesus. A careful study of this text shows that here the word soul means a false sense or material consciousness. The command was a warning to beware not of Rome, Satan, nor of God, but of sin. Sickness, sin, and death are not concomitants of life or truth. No law supports them. They have no relation to God wherewith to establish their power. Sin makes its own hell, and goodness its own heaven. What can be the standard of good, of spirit, of life, or of truth, if they produce their opposites, such as evil, matter, error, and death? God could never impart an element of evil, and man possesses nothing which he has not derived from God. Science reveals the possibility of achieving all good and sets mortals at work to discover what God has already done. But distrust of one's ability to gain the goodness desired and to bring out better and higher results often hampers the trial of one's wings and ensures failure at the outset. The great truth in the science of being, that the real man was, is and ever shall be perfect is incontrovertible. For if man is the image, reflection of God, he is neither inverted nor subverted, but upright and godlike. And love is reflected in love. The Christly scientific man reflects the divine law, thus becoming a law unto himself. He does violence to no man. Jesus' last proof was the highest, the most convincing, the most profitable to his students. The malignity of brutal persecutors, the treason and suicide of his betrayer were overruled by divine love to the glorification of the man and of the true idea of God, which Jesus' persecutors had mocked and tried to slay. The final demonstration of the truth which Jesus taught and for which he was crucified opened a new era for the world. Truth never destroys God's idea. Truth is spiritual, eternal substance which cannot destroy the right reflection. Corporeal sense or error may seem to hide truth, health, harmony, and science as the mist obscures the sun or the mountain. But science, the sunshine of truth, will melt away the shadow and reveal the celestial peaks. All that God imparts moves in accord with him, reflecting goodness and power. Your mirrored reflection is your own image or likeness. If you lift a weight, your reflection does this also. If you speak, the lips of this likeness move in accord with yours. Now compare man before the mirror to his divine principle, God. Call the mirror divine science, and call man the reflection. Then note how true, according to Christian science, is the reflection to its original. As the reflection of yourself appears in the mirror, so you, being spiritual, are the reflection of God. In the Saxon and 20 other tongues, good is the term for God. The scriptures declare all that he made to be good, like himself, good in principle and in idea. Therefore, the spiritual universe is good and reflects God as he is. Man's genuine selfhood is recognizable only in what is good and true.